This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Yo, it's been a while. I even forgot how to switch on the guest microphone. Hey, Kane, how's it going? Welcome to 2022.
Welcome to 2022. Flippin' good to have made it here, you know, with the COVID pandemic. It was a little bit touch and go when we were going to get to this pristine 2022 phase. And I must say, what a way to start the year. No midnight curfew. Like, I don't even go out after midnight, but... It's nice to know that I won't get arrested if I am.
Yeah.
It's nice to have.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Gathering milk at 1 a.m. will no longer sentence you to
be arrested with your milk. But anyway, how was your festive season?
It was so good. It was such a good festive season. I took a little break, spent some time with family, you know, did the due diligence, you know, in terms of celebrating and having a good time. And what about yourself?
Good. I was switching off for about 2 weeks.
Did you play the radio even?
I did.
Oh, okay.
But I was just, switching off. But, you know, the funny thing is when you switch off, just when you kind of start switching off, you get back to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like you didn't switch off.
Yeah. Then you like going straight back into it.
Yeah. But also you get to know yourself because you're like, well, me at least, you have to keep busy all the time. Mm. And when you sit there and you don't have anything to do or no deadlines and stuff, you actually start nitpicking and getting all grumpy. So, it's quite interesting. You have to keep busy.
Yeah.
Once you're so used to it, eh?
Yeah, when you're working a lot, you're always thinking about the break. And then when you finally have the break, you think to yourself, sure, now what am I going to do now? You
know? Exactly.
How am I going to leverage this the best?
Yeah.
And then you kind of relax for a week.
Mm-hmm.
When I go on holiday, I actually do nothing.
Yeah.
More than actually do something. I feel like it's just a great way to... Not nothing. I don't just sit inside, but I don't do anything, you know, financial or professional or anything like that. It's all very personal and relaxed. A lot of sleeping.
Absolutely. Catching up on sleep, even though they say you can never really catch up on lost sleep. But anyway, how's it looking for tech? How's our tech start looking for 2022?
Well, we're starting off 2022 on some good notes and some... concerning notes, and we're going to get into it. I think one of the coolest things that I have to talk about today is BMW has unveiled a color-changing vehicle.
Oh, nice.
It changes color. And you know, traditionally, you've seen some of those cars that have that, like, chrome on it so that it goes, like, between, like, purple and green and, you know, depending on where the light hits it from the sun. That was, like, the traditional, you know, paint job which allowed your car to change colors. Mm. But this is actually customizable and controllable in a way that isn't just based on a reflective paint, but actually technology-driven color changing thanks to electrical signals to a specific bit of bodywork.
My word. Yeah. Now, what are the thieves going to do when they steal your car? It's going to be so easy.
Yo.
They don't have to do this spray painting job again.
No, we need to put an APB out for a white or black vehicle. At any given time, it could change.
It could be blue now.
Yeah.
Yo.
So listen to this. So BMW unveiled the iX Flow at the CES 2022. The vehicle uses e-ink technology to change colors at the touch of a button. German vehicle manufacturer BMW unveiled this concept version of its iX SUV at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. The vehicle uses this technology, which is the same as some of the technology used by e-readers like the Kindle, so that it can actually perform a display, not the actual Kindle itself changing colors, which allows it to change a color at the touch of a button. BMW says its concept is bringing the car body to life, adding that digital experiences will not be limited to just displays in the future as the real and virtual worlds meld. The manufacturer says the fluid color changes are made possible by a specially developed body wrap. When the paint is stimulated by electric signals, the e-ink technology brings different color pigments to the surface and the vehicle takes on the driver's desired color.
My word.
Now, I want to just show you a quick video of this. Take a look at how this car changes color. Okay. So in the video, when you're looking at it, you see basically a silver SUV that almost instantly goes from silver to black at the touch of a button. But it's not just a full paint job. It actually can have sport stripes. You know, when you have your stripes down the top of
I'm
your
seeing
car.
It.
Yeah, that does that. And they actually had a video from a guy on Twitter that that went out and reversed the car into a parking, and as he reversed, the whole car changed color from white to black.
Oh,
it was incredible.
My word.
It's incredible. It's modernized. It's not. It's, you know, it's not finicky. It doesn't look clunky.
Are you sure it's not a sci-fi movie I'm watching now?
No, it's 100% legit. They don't know when it's going to come to the public because it is a concept car and it's based on a project that they're working on. Here's another Twitter video. You can take a look at that video. We should share some of these to our social media platforms.
Oh, but it's a beautiful car.
It's a beautiful looking SUV, you know,
beautiful machine,
BMW style. But BMW is always kind of pushing the envelope in terms of customization and, you know, futuristic design capabilities and stuff. And they are literally one of the first people to put technology like this out. And I think it's going to hold a very interesting application in the future. That being said, traditionally, I think the biggest problem is going to actually come at the maintenance of such a thing. Because, you know, when you scratch your car, it's clear. You know, you got to either buff out the scratch if it's minimal, or redo the bodywork, or respray the whole car, depending on the amount of damage. Yeah, now you've got a very electronic-based paint. You know, that is probably very expensive and very hard and needs to be applied by a certified person. That's the problem.
So, yeah, it's going to be a problem if somebody bumps into you now.
But it's not available to the public. It might not be this year, but in time it'll happen. But I definitely urge people to go take a look because it blew me out the water.
Yeah, me too. It's like it looked like there was some editing done on the video.
Exactly.
This white car reversing in, and then it turns gray and black.
Yeah, and it's not like the gray and black is like almost white, and it's slightly different.
No.
It's like a complete 180.
Yeah.
And it's also customizable, so specific parts of the car can change colors instead of others.
Can you make it pink? Can you make it yellow?
I'm not too sure. I only saw the black and white.
I wonder.
And the Kindle, thinking about a Kindle, it is very black and white vision. You know, you're not really reading a book in color. So
yeah,
that technology,
right.
I don't know what its color application is, but you best believe they're looking into it. You know,
my word.
They want Ferrari red or, you know, metallic white or whatever the case may be.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Say.
Do you want to hear another thing about what's actually scary to be alive right now? Hey,
a lot of things, but give me another one.
Are you ready
one?
For this? So Amazon's Alexa, we know it's the voice assistant, okay? You can actually request a challenge from Alexa. So you can say, Alexa, give me a challenge, and she'll say, try go for a 2-minute walk on your hands, or she'll give you a fun challenge. But unfortunately, something a little bit concerning happened. So mom was shocked when the virtual assistant Alexa told her daughter to touch an electrical socket with a coin.
No,
but it's worse because the way that it tells you to touch it is alarming. So listen to this. Let's get into it. So many social media users have been having a serious chat about artificial intelligence after Amazon's Alexa told the child to touch an electrical socket. Taking to Twitter, the child's mother shared how shocked she was to hear the virtual assistant telling the 10-year-old to do this dangerous challenge. The mom was fuming. All over the world, artificial intelligence is becoming a part of everyday life. And this after Kirsten Levardal's 10-year-old asked Alexa to give her a challenge, the assistant responded telling the child to do the penny challenge. This involves plugging a phone charger about halfway into a wall socket and then touching a penny to the exposed prongs.
No!
How?
That doesn't sound good.
That is terrifying.
She's evil.
Is it evil Alexa?
Evil Alexa. Do you think she was hacked, or do you think she's got a dark side that we don't know about?
I don't think. Look, I know that there's going to be people out there that are like, oh my word, don't trust Alexa. It's obviously corrupt. But Alexa is almost like a search tool. So if the penny challenge exists online and Alexa,
she's going to read it to you. Yeah.
She might have
sourced
that information from a very malicious area.
Somewhere. Okay.
You know, so there might be a little bit of.
Oof,
but there should
you're
be
totally right
filters
there.
In place.
Yeah.
And firewalls in place.
Because kids will do it.
No, they will do it.
Do you know if this kid actually did it?
I don't know. I
wonder, it will probably just give you a little jolt. I don't know if you'll die if you do that.
I think you would. Yeah, you'll get a fright.
Well, I'm not going to try.
I don't think it's 230 volts.
I'm not going to
try.
That
will hurt. So yeah, no, don't ask Alexa for a challenge. She might ask you to flip and put tomato sauce on your cornflakes. You know, you don't know what might come out of that voice assistant.
Goodness gracious. So this is hectic. But anyway, you know, we're talking about amazing cars and all this stuff. And even Alexa, I think it's all hackable. And now a 19-year-old security researcher claims, he's just 19, to have hacked remotely into more than 25 Tesla cars in 13 countries. Saying in a series of tweets that a software flaw allowed him to access the electronic vehicle pioneers' systems. So can you imagine, David Colombo, a self-described information technology specialist, tweeted on Tuesday that the software flaw allows him to unlock doors and windows, start the cars without keys, and, and also disable their security systems. He also claimed he can see if a driver is present in the car, turn on the vehicle's stereo sound system, and flash their headlights.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Elon was like, let's give the Tesla an internet connection, and the world cried.
No, but does he not have antivirus? But this is also very dangerous, just like Alexa with her challenges, because imagine what if a hacker hacks into your electronic vehicle and he crashes you into a wall or something.
Oh yeah, no, I mean,
you have no control.
Look at some of the stuff that he was able to access. Headlights.
Yeah.
Now you're driving at night, someone turns your headlights off.
Exactly.
You know, that's
or flashes it for
one.
No reason.
Exactly. You know, that's really if I'm in my car, my stereo turns on, I'm a little bit suspicious, but the headlights start flickering, steering wheel does something, you know, I'm out of that car. I'm
selling
it. But you know what's interesting, I actually came across something about Tesla. One of the guys on TikTok that I follow, he purchased himself a Tesla model in April of last year, and it arrived in December of last year. So it took what, 6-7 months for the car to arrive at his house, and that's traditional waiting time, you know. The vehicle came to him, but upon him inspecting the vehicle, he found that the windows weren't lining up properly with the top of the car. The waterproofing and rubbering of it was uneven across the car. There were defects and quality control issues that would have made you return the car, because they're not just quick fixes. And what he ended up saying was, well, it was pretty alarming that he saw all of these details, but his options were as follows. Either return the car and have to rebook and purchase a new Tesla, and the price for Teslas have increased dramatically, 70, 40, 50% probably. I think it was like $10,000 more that he would have to spend on the car at its current price. And it would take up to 8 months. So a car he ordered in April of 2021 would only arrive at the end of 2022.
Yeah.
Beginning of 2023.
Just after Christmas.
So it was quite interesting to see that Tesla's quality control is bad. Because what I did is I further investigated the issue. I looked into Reddit. I looked into some of the comments. And some people have said they worked at Tesla, and the guys up at quality control know about these issues. They just don't care. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that is not publicity that you want to receive.
Yeah, I don't think Elon's going to be too happy about Elon.
No, so I'm really interested to see. You best believe there's going to be a massive quality control upgrade. Elon doesn't personally inspect every single car.
Of course not,
From each flipping bolt in the wheel to, you know, the individual blades for the aircon. You know, Elon doesn't do that.
No.
He hires people to do that. That's why the company's there. So, yeah, I know, a little bit of turmoil. And that hacking thing is issue number one. But I also saw now with some controversy that's happening about the autopilot, the auto driving mechanisms and some of the public videos that have been shared about this thing bugging out or having issues or making mistakes, has caused one of the big regulators to actually start looking into the technology and finding out what's happening and more heavily regulating their automated driving technology.
But Kane, there must be a button on the dashboard that says override or something that just completely cancels the internet connection.
Airplane mode.
Yeah.
Wings come out of the car.
But seriously, just to cut off that hacker or whatever is happening, so you can manually just take over the car.
Yeah.
And save your own life, you know?
Like, it should be something that is turned on and is off by default. It's just that should be.
But there must be a way to override it, because if you are at the mercy of whoever's hacking your car, I mean, you're probably not going to get out alive.
Park the car in the garage, he's not getting out of
And then the worst of it all is if it crashes, it's going to burn for days. Because we know how those cars, when they start
as long fire, as the hackers don't have access to the cigarette lighter, we should be fine.
But you know, when those cars catch fire, it's not easy to put out, remember?
No, it's
one in the swimming pool and all that stuff.
No, you need the top fire brigade guy.
And the swimming pool.
And the
remember,
swimming pool, yeah.
Because they drove the one car into a swimming pool to put the
and
fire
it didn't
out.
Go out. It still burns.
That's crazy,
yeah,
hey?
I know that you could make a steam engine like
yeah,
that. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. What have you got for us when we come back?
So when we come back, we're taking a look at something that I thought was very interesting. They recently discovered a perfectly preserved dinosaur embryo that was about to hatch.
Wow.
Over 66 million years ago.
My word.
And we're going to look at some of the details behind that.
That's very interesting.
And then we're also going to talk about Microsoft discontinuing all their Xbox One consoles.
That's Jonas Blue and Don't Wake Me Up featuring Why Don't We? It is Tech Plus, the first edition for 2022. It's Jan with you and joined by Kane, as always, sharing all the latest and biggest tech news stories for this week. Kane, what have you got?
This is something I'm excited about. We got a little bit of a trip back to the past. And, you know, these kind of things aren't possible without the technology we have today.
Mm.
Right? And scientists on Tuesday announced the discovery of an exquisitely preserved dinosaur embryo from at least 66 million years ago that was preparing to hatch from its egg just like a chicken. The fossil was discovered in Guangzhou, southern China, and belonged to a toothless theropod dinosaur, which the researchers dubbed Baby Ying Liang. It is one of the best dinosaur embryos ever found in history. And they found this with its head lay below its body, with the feet on either side and back curled, a posture that was previously unseen in dinosaurs, but is similar to modern birds. So what that says for us is the way that modern birds hatch from their eggs is a derivative from the original ancestors, which are the dinosaur ancestors of these birds, and that is how they hatch. So they actually gained that ability to hatch in the way that they do originally from the dinosaurs.
So when I say my little bird looks a lot like a dinosaur at times, it's got like these little, you know, things that it does that reminds me of a dinosaur, I'm not completely wrong.
No, if there was a real life Jurassic Park, they'd probably ask you to have a look. I'm joking.
But interesting, eh? Yeah, from the eggs and everything. And some birds, you know, some parrots have a lot of dinosaur in them, actually.
Exactly.
The way they walk and...
Yeah, it is. Know? I mean, if you look at a parrot, it does seem a bit like how you would picture like a T-Rex or some kind of big reptilian kind of walking. So in birds, the behavior is controlled by the central nervous system and called tucking. Chicks preparing to hatch tuck their head under their right wing in order to stabilize their head when they crack the shell with their beak. Embryos that fail to tuck have a higher chance of death from an unsuccessful hatching. And you know what? This is actually something quite interesting for me. So there's this speculation that exists whether or not dinosaurs had feathers.
Okay. No, I don't
think so. And
now
we see that birds who do have feathers have the same hatching mechanism as dinosaurs did 66 million years ago.
But have you seen some birds without their feathers?
Yeah.
Then it looks even more like a dinosaur.
It looks even more.
Right?
So it really, is it possible? I don't know. I don't ever think we would have seen a T-Rex flying through the air.
Oof,
I don't think that
quite
happened.
Scarier.
But there might have been some kind of less... scale-like texture and more feather-like texture that was present in these birds. Because today, birds have very big feathers in comparison to their size.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe a dinosaur had much more feathers and smaller feathers compared to its size, which could have been taken in any way, which is very, very interesting for me. I mean, I can't accept that far back. But feathered dinosaurs that lived what is now in Asia and North America during the latest Cretaceous period had variable beak shapes and diets and ranged in size from modern turkeys at the lower end to massive gigantoraptors that were 8 meters or 26 feet tall. This particular egg that they found with this preserved embryo would have grown to about 2 to 3 meters tall. It's about 15 to 20 centimeters in size, the egg itself. And they believe that during this period of it almost hatching, there must have been some sort of mudslide or something which caused egg to be buried, kept it away from scavengers, and preserved for 66 million years.
My word.
Until we've discovered it today.
What are the chances?
You know, what are the chances? I think it's absolutely phenomenal to have a chance to peek back in time like that. When do you get an opportunity like that? They said they've taken a bit of the shell away to observe what is inside, but there's a lot of parts of the embryo that is still like rock. So they're taking special scanning equipment and things like that to get a better idea of this particular animal's skeletal structure and what else they might be able to find or discover. Is yet to be known. So yeah, no, very exciting. We'll keep it our ear to the ground on it and report on it in future. But yeah, that's really cool.
But now you're telling me that the Xbox One is also becoming a dinosaur.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because obviously they have these newer consoles. So you have the Xbox Series X and you have the PlayStation 5.
Yeah,
and
all pretty these, machines.
Eh? Yeah, the pretty machines, the expensive machines. And with the shortage of chips at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Is that still going?
It is. And they have to decide, do they put the chips in the PS4s? Do they put the chips in the PS5s? And for Microsoft, that decision was, do we continue to produce the Microsoft Xbox One? Or do we better utilize our chips to keep producing more Xbox Series S's and Xbox Series X's as time goes by? And that's what they've decided to do. So Microsoft has stopped manufacturing all Xbox One consoles. The software giant originally discontinued the Xbox One X and digital Xbox One S ahead of the Xbox Series X launch, then quietly stopped manufacturing the Xbox One S at the end of 2020, leaving retailers to sell out their remaining stock. To focus on production of Xbox Series X and S, we stopped production for all Xbox One consoles, says Sydney Walker, Senior Director of Xbox Console Product Marketing, in a statement to The Verge. Microsoft confirmation comes just as Bloomberg reports suggest Sony had planned to end PS4 production at the end of 2021, but the company will now manufacture around 1 million PS4 consoles in 2022, and Sony has confirmed PS4 production is still ongoing amid struggles by both Microsoft and Sony to meet demand for their latest Series X and PS5 consoles. It's amazing how a little chip shortage makes, you know, things you would think are easy to manufacture quite challenging and logistically tricky.
Who or what's behind this global chip shortage? Because it's been going on for a couple of months now.
Well, the funny thing is I saw another article that I haven't included here today that I read about, which Samsung predicts that they're going to see 50% more profits thanks to the current chip shortage. Because they're a chip manufacturer.
Ah.
So, you know, I feel there might definitely be some definitive demand increases in different industries for these chips. But if you're a clever person and you can potentially make 50% additional profit out of a chip shortage, you end up buying out all the chips. If you have a lot of money, it's not a hell of a big issue. And if you're just holding the chips and keeping them out of the economy, the demand for them is going to increase, and the chip producer will see massive benefits when everything is relying on these chips. So is it happening? That's a conspiracy, but still very interesting to consider.
It would make sense, actually.
It would make sense.
Definitely. Now, you just spoke about a forecast there and predictions. Very interesting to see that there was a forecast. It's called the Africa Pay TV Forecast Report from a TV industry intelligence firm Digital TV Research. It is predicting that DStv will lose 500,000 customers in South Africa over the next 5 years, while its revenue in the country will decline by around 3 billion rand. The report forecasts that South Africa will have about 9.2 million pay TV subscribers by 2027. And of these, DStv will account for 8.4 million, which means it will remain the dominant provider in the country. But that's still a massive loss. 500,000 customers over the next 5 years and less, a decline in revenue by 3 billion rand. What do you say? Does it sound far-fetched, or do you think it's actually... Quite a, do you think it's
yeah, this is what I think
DStv's situation is right now in terms of how they're what they're having to deal with.
Are they having an identity crisis?
I think number one, they're definitely concerned for the massive drop in users, because as you can see there, it is quite substantial. People are moving away from cable. I haven't even thought of buying DStv, and I don't intend to ever buy DStv, which means there are more people like that. Now, if DStv came out with a unique product or something that interests me, that's a different story. But as of right now, with the service that's provided for the money that is required, it's not worth it for me, and it's probably not worth it for other people. But as DStv, just put yourself in their shoes for a second. Consider this: you've made a successful business that you've made a hell of a lot of profit on over the last few years. Now you're starting to note that this product that you're providing is getting phased out by other competitors, by other streaming services, and you have a decision to make. Okay, they either have to put a hold on it, put a stop sign up, and say, we're not providing services for DStv anymore, we're taking our profits and leaving. What happens then? What happens to all the people that bought dishes? What happens to all the people that have decoders? What happens to all the people that are on 1-year contracts and 2-year contracts? It's going to create more problems. So they are in a very sticky situation because they can't stop it and take their profits, and the massive loss of customers and the massive loss of financial revenue is going to deplete all the hard work that they've put in over the last 10 years, and all the profits that they make are going to get ruined and taken away as they try and self-sustain themselves in a dying market. Now, that's a very challenging position to be in. Lose all the money that you've made up until now as the market phases out, or stop completely and face massive, you know, backlash from the consumers. And then at the end of the day, you've got this, you know, blue sky dream where somehow you manage to provide a service that makes everyone buy it again, and you make $1 billion, you know, and that's the situation unlikely. Then that's
okay
tough.
Now let's say for a minute you've been appointed as the big boss of MultiChoice DStv.
Guy wears the big shoes.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
What would you do to save it? Or would you just close it?
I would forget about the blue skies dream. Yeah. I think just the fact that there's so much infrastructure relies on decoders and satellites, and that is the core thing that is getting phased out, this cable-like viewing experience. I would try probably my best to try and phase out DStv. I think I would start calling you know, quits on it. Maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's not a bad idea, but I'm thinking 5 years ahead. You know, how viable is cable going to be in 5 years, where you have the streaming service, where you can't really choose what you're watching, and, you know, you got a kind of pay-per-view for movies that you can watch at any given time, and you have to wait for the show to record it to watch it at a later time. You know, you can't just go in and watch it, and if you don't set record, it's in terms of comparing it to Netflix, or comparing it to Amazon Prime, or comparing it even to sites that allow you to stream movies and series completely for free illegally. You know, it's
quite a few of those popping up and disappearing overnight.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people with the DStv don't know how to access those sites, so they just stick on the straight and narrow path and pay for the content.
But there are some businesses and stuff that would rely on it, like accommodation
providers
and stuff.
Because you get those special packages for hotels and stuff.
Exactly.
I think that
I
don't know.
You can't have a TV with nothing but Netflix on. I think it doesn't really work. You want the sport. You want this.
Yeah.
I you know what? Maybe I wouldn't cancel it. I would make DStv purely sport. It would save me money, save me licenses.
Just for sport,
Just think about it. The new Spider-Man movie is coming out. Now, when the new Spider-Man movie comes out for home theater viewing and things like that, it's first going to go to Netflix. Then it's going to go to other streaming services. Mm-hmm. And some streaming services are only forecasting seeing it. Like Disney Plus is only forecasting seeing the new Spider-Man movie on Disney Plus in 2023. Now, DStv is going to come in with a software license for it in 2024. So a movie that came out in 2021 only can come out on DStv in 2024.
Or somebody gave you a pirate copy already.
And you're going to pay a lot of money for it. So I would probably go and say, okay, this isn't like a Netflix viewing experience where you can watch, you know, CakeNet and all that sort of stuff. It would just be purely sports.
CakeNet.
Yeah. It would just be sports.
CakeNet.
CakeNet. Yeah, so I would pivot into the sports industry, and I would make a variety of sports content, and I would do away with software licenses and viewing licenses.
And now that you mentioned a TV channel, let's say you're a channel head for CakeNet, for example, because they've got quite a big niche, being Afrikaans TV channel. Would you be worried that the ship's going to sink with you? Because you're reliant on DStv to keep you on the air.
Yeah, what's K-Connect without DStv?
Where would you go? You know, how would you be worried if you were head of the channel?
Yeah, I would be. I'd be concerned.
Look at alternative options.
And those are the main people that are going to hit DStv if they try cancel. Because they got a lot of bodies on their back.
Yeah, it's the boat you're on. Yeah. If it sinks, you're all going down.
It's like going on a trip on the Titanic and they're like, yeah, no, guys, we're halfway there. Let's just sink it now. Yeah. It's going to be like, no, you're not sinking it. I make money. I'm bulls.
It's a tricky situation, but I mean, it just shows you how quickly we're moving and how times are changing, even faster now. Nowadays, and how technology is changing and how it's affecting people and their livelihoods.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, so that's what I would do. Do you want to hear something else that's very interesting?
Just after the song. Have you got for us after the song?
TikTok has emerged as the most downloaded app globally on Christmas. Ooh. And we're also taking a look at the humanoid robot Amika, which was revealed at CES this year.
Is she also evil?
Remember Sophia?
Yes.
It's like the upgraded version of Sophia.
So she's got more personality.
Yeah, and facial features and 60 flipping gears in her head that make her do expressions. It's very odd.
Some of the expressions are just way off cue. It's like the eyebrows go up and stuff. She's got more expression than most Hollywood actresses because they've got so much Botox.
You can customize it. You don't just get one smile, you know?
Here's a lesson with Katy Perry. Welcome back to the final segment of Tech Plus. We are about to wrap it up in a couple of minutes. And Kane's got something for us on TikTok. Before you talk about TikTok, Kane, do you know any TikTokers?
Yeah, plenty. And
are they successful?
Yes.
What do you say is the key to a successful TikToker? Being original?
Consistent content. I've seen a lot of people that create the difference between a person who's scaling their community, meaning the community is growing and their follower count is growing, and a person who has a viral video but the community isn't growing is because the viral video is the format and the content and the type of video of the viral video is very indifferent from 80% of the other content on his page. You know, from a high value production video, which is well thought out and curated, is then, you know, muddled amongst very quick and short kind of videos, hoping that they go popular, and it's not to the same level or quality, and people want to be able to watch every single one of your TikTok videos and be like, oh, that's great. You know, so if every single video you produce is something that you yourself would deem, oh, that's great, you know, then you're going to be popular and you're going to be successful, just a matter of time. But if you're producing content that is very indifferent, one day you're talking about animals, the next day you're talking about, you know, astronomy, and the next day you're talking about the guy at the shop that irritated you at the shopping center. And, you know, you must try and create consistent content that follows a category so that people, because when a person watches one video and follows you, they expect that those types of videos is what they're subscribing to.
Yeah, you're right.
It's an important concept to keep in mind.
The nice thing, the videos are so short, you know.
Yeah.
So it's nice. You can go, you can get stuck in a, as I call it, a TikTok loop so easily, and watch one and you end up watching 100 of them. Because you know, they just keep coming. And they're all funny. But what would you say would somebody need to be a TikTok star? Can you just do it with a phone and a good light in your room and a good personality?
A good idea.
And an internet connection.
Yeah, a good idea, a phone, and creativity will take you 98% of the way. You know?
So if you're good with impersonations, for example, would you do well there as well?
Yes. I mean, I was talking to some friends of mine as well. You know, if you have a job that would be interesting to other people, it's going to do well on TikTok. I mean, look at a mechanic. Mm. Most people who are fond of cars will probably follow a mechanic if they work a day job in an office, or they work as some, you know, rudimentary kind of person who's not a mechanic. Watching a mechanic do jobs and learning about a car is going to interest you. You know, if you're a lifeguard, how you live on the beach and what is interesting there and cool things that you find and little animals and this jellyfish here and this one time you went out on the paddle boat and that one time you saw a shark, that is good content. So your career can actually be the foundation for your TikTok content and your creator content if it is a very interesting career. I do marketing, it's not that interesting, you know. In terms of watching it, it's too dependent on what I'm marketing and who I'm marketing for. But a car mechanic, you know, one day you're changing this, one day you're fixing that. It's very problem solving, it's very interesting. So there's a lot of ways that you can make content that doesn't necessarily have to be something you sit down every day trying to make. But then again, sitting down and really thinking about the content and making sure that it's something you're passionate about will come through in the end of the day in the videos. And anybody with a very low video editing skill or, you know, very shy in front of the camera, those are just growing pains. They phase out. That's not what you need to be worried about. You just need to worry about what you're making, what's the subject of the content.
I know we're sidetracking a bit, but I just want to quickly, just one more question. How do you make money as a TikToker? Is it product placement or what? How do you make money as a
TikToker? There's probably two primary revenue streams for a TikToker. The first revenue stream for a TikToker is actually the payouts that TikTok makes. So for couple of views, you make a few cents here and there. Nice. That is probably the revenue stream number one. And that is also what's also included underneath that revenue stream umbrella is when people give you gifts in a live stream fashion.
So they can give you,
and TikTok has really thought about creating this gamification where two TikTokers can compete against each other for a higher score, and that score is determined by their audience, which is sending gifts, and that is a revenue stream. The other revenue stream, which probably surpasses that of the gifts and the TikTok view commission, is privatized sponsorship. You know, you're creating videos every single day about interesting tech, and here comes Samsung to give you their latest phone and a couple thousand dollars. You review the phone
quickly or something else.
And it happens all the time.
Oh, that's nice. That would be a dream job.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Wouldn't it be? Just a few seconds reviewing the phone. You get new gadgets. Damn, I can get used to that.
And the thing I always find interesting is, you know, when you're thinking of creating a TikTok channel and getting to 100,000 followers, you're thinking of a number which is 100,000. You're not thinking about 100,000 individuals that all find you interesting in their own capacity. And that's what you should focus on. If you want to build 100,000 followers, make sure that the content you produce will interest 100,000 different people with different lives and different interests, but have one interest in common. That's and a that big is your
job.
Content.
Yeah, that's a big job.
It's a big job. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's a fluke and it happens immediately, but you know, it's definitely worth pursuing.
But now tell us how popular TikTok is.
TikTok is now the most popular downloaded app in the world.
Sure.
I think it even surpasses Facebook, WhatsApp.
Everybody wants a piece of the talk.
Yeah. A piece of the TikTok. Literally. And it's actually a big statement to say it is the number one most downloaded app.
Of all the apps.
Of all the apps.
In the entire world.
In the entire world.
Even Uber's app.
Even Uber.
Facebook, WhatsApp,
yeah,
all those
defeated by TikTok.
Even Instagram.
There is not one app out there that you have on your phone that has more downloads than TikTok right now.
Wow, TikTok.
I mean, because I've seen 70-year-olds on TikTok, and I've seen 7-year-olds on TikTok. I haven't seen 70-year-olds on Facebook and 7-year-olds on Facebook.
Exactly.
That's the difference. But then again, you don't really want your 7-year-old browsing around TikTok. It's too difficult to control the content that he's going to be exposed to. There's parental controls, but they're still in their fledgling, you know, fledgling stages, because it's flippin' difficult to create a parental control that can stop any type of content. You see on TikTok, people say, "Oh, you know, my video was removed," or I'm reposting this video because it was removed because a couple hundred people all reported it for some reason." Very difficult to get there and block it before the 100,000 people saw it, whereby 100 reported it. If you're in that pool, you're going to see it, and your kid might see it.
I have a good question for you. You obviously have experience as a YouTuber. Would you say that TikTok is the new YouTube?
Definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, it doesn't compete in the same department as long-form video content.
Because it's so short,
You're not going to watch a TED show on TikTok. You're probably going to watch a TED show on TikTok over 25 parts, and it's going to drive just little you flipping crazy. Yeah. Especially because some people make these episode-based TikToks, like part one, part two, part three, but the last 5 seconds of part one is included in the first five seconds of part two.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it's like you're going back 5 seconds every time. Yeah. So in that department, YouTube wins. But what TikTok wins in is, and I say it to people all the time, actually, when YouTube first started allowing creators to create content, let's say me and you made a video, that video within the first few years of YouTube would have gone to the homepage of YouTube, mm-hmm. and everyone in the world could see it.
Everybody could be a star back then on YouTube.
And the more and more popular YouTube got, the less and less time you were on the homepage, but you were always on the homepage for a given amount of time.
Look at it today.
And now, not the case.
No.
People specifically have to look for it, and you specifically have to be the only person serving that information, or the only person serving that information in a way that looks more attractive than the other people.
Ooh, it's hard, eh? It's difficult. It's almost too competitive.
Difficult.
It's almost like I wouldn't even pursue it.
Yeah, some people don't even explore YouTube that much, as you would TikTok. TikTok is one video after the other exploration.
And
YouTube is a presentation of possible videos
you're right.
you can watch.
And then
your
also,
video might be overlooked.
Yeah, you're right. And then also, people's attention spans are so much shorter.
Yeah.
Apparently, studies have shown it's getting even shorter now.
But it's sad because you can spend 2.5 hours on TikTok, but you can't watch a 2.5 hour movie. Like, what a bunch of rubbish.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's just people being getting lazier and lazier.
Yeah.
And more and more interested in quick dopamine hits than detailed educational exercises.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Dopamine hits. Yeah, that's it.
But the main thing is with TikTok, your video gets shown to a couple hundred people, and then if those couple hundred people like your video or showed some form of engagement or affiliation with the video, then it showed to another couple hundred people, and then it showed to more about 1,000 or a couple thousand people, then showed to a couple hundred thousand people, and then a couple million people, and you have a viral video. So as long as the content you're creating is built to entertain those first couple hundred people that see the video, you know that TikTok will show to another couple hundred, then a couple thousand, then a couple hundred thousand, then a couple million, and so the video will become viral. You just don't have that opportunity on YouTube. It's not there.
No.
It doesn't exist. That's
it was
why
so much easier to be a YouTuber back then, as I'm sure you know, than now. It's almost impossible now.
It is.
It's just too competitive. Every second person is making a new video.
No, and the people have their favorites. So,
exactly.
Why, if I go out and make tech review videos, why are you going to watch me over Linus Tech Tips? I'm probably going to talk about something that he doesn't cover, and that's why you might watch me. But if I make the same video as Linus Tech Tips, you're watching him, not me, and that's difficult.
But even if you talk about something else, would that be enough motivation for somebody to watch you?
No. And subscribing on YouTube is hard. The one thing I love that they did with YouTube that I must say is such a beneficial addition to the YouTube platform is making dislike count invisible.
Invisible, yeah, I know. We spoke about it, remember?
Back in the day.
You know what the people are doing now?
What? Oh, they're putting in the comments,
use this. use my comment as the dislike button, and then you can see the count. That's so clever, actually.
It is.
But I know that you also, I mean, it's not nice. It's not motivational when somebody dislikes your video, especially if they're out to get you.
No, absolutely.
That's something you experience.
And even if you make a video that is maybe you make a short film by yourself or a video game by yourself. Now, you get 10 million views. 3 million people like it. 1.5 million people dislike it. It's still 1.5 million people who don't like your video that you are focusing on.
You're taking it personally.
You have 1.5 million people that dislike it. You don't care about the 3 million. Your mentality is influenced by that number count.
Yeah.
So it's such a beautiful addition, and I enjoy watching YouTube videos ever more because it gives a false impression of what to expect from the video.
You know, you're right, yeah.
People are so different. If I go and watch a video about a new chicken recipe, Do the dislikes indicate that the recipe's bad, that the presenter's bad, that the introduction of the video's bad,
or
that
the joke he said is bad, good,
or the chicken looks bad? You know, there could be so many indicators, and all you want is a flippin' chicken recipe. You know, and you're like, a lot of people don't like this video. I'm gonna go watch another.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they didn't like it because the joke at the end was crude. Or
something. Exactly. But I've never judged a video by that anyway, even when the dislike button was still there.
No, I did.
I didn't.
I was
just watching it.
I shouldn't have done it because I wouldn't want people to do it to myself, but it does. It definitely played a role.
It affected your...
If I got to, like, let's say a video on how to fix your sound on your computer. Now you get to the video, it has 300 dislikes and 15 likes. You already know the solution doesn't work and you move on. And that's just an example. you know.
Okay, yeah, and I just sometimes read the top comment, you know, I think that probably influenced
me. So better to just leave it off, button. You know.
Yeah.
Better to just leave it off. And then we have one more piece of information, one more interesting story. So the humanoid robot Amica was revealed this year at CES alongside the BMW iX, your color-changing paint job.
Nice.
Britain's engineered arts humanoid robot Amica made its first contact with the public at the 2022 Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, this week, which is the largest technology fair on the planet. During the event, a large crowd gathered to watch Amica almost every second and interact with the robot, whose facial features are surprisingly vivid and emotive. Amica does not only respond to visitors' questions, much like Alexa, Amazon's cloud-based AI voice service, available on hundreds of millions of devices, but also responds to conversations with proper recreated expressions.
Yeah.
Amica has teeth, and its body is made of metal and plastic. Its face is gender neutral and a non-human gray color. It has 17 individual motors inside its head, controlling all the movements and expressions.
That's creepy.
And despite dazzling spectators with the eerily lifelike expressions on its mobile silicon face, the robot is still unable to walk. According to the company, walking is a challenging task.
No.
And it's in their development plans.
With all those expressions, it can't even bloody walk.
I wonder what its expression for that is. It's probably very angry.
Just give it wheels or something. Just put it on wheels. That's going to look so freaky.
Put a few RC cars just like at the bottom. Amica blinked its way into public consensus in late 2021 when a video of its facial expressions went viral on social media. Elon Musk responded to the video with one word, yikes.
Yikes, yeah.
And that's what originally gave her popularity. But it's supposed to be like a companion. Its main job is to communicate and respond with emotion, and that is their primary.
So it can't make me tea or something and bring it up to the studio because it can't walk.
No. No, I have a few facial
bloody
expressions
useless.
For that.
Yeah.
I don't know how expensive is a robot. I don't know. It's probably a couple hundred thousand dollars. I got a couple hundred thousand dollar robot sitting in my room, and I can just ask her questions and see how she reacts. I mean, like, why not go outside and speak to another person?
Yeah.
But when they designed this robot, I must say, they said that their focus was to create a robot that they expected to see in the future. So it's not actually about recreating a person. It's more about creating a companion-based assistive robot. And I don't know how well a robot can make tea without walking, but that's the start. The walking is their next challenge.
Unless it can fly with the tea,
yeah.
Bring it to me.
Yeah.
Because maybe just put it on a drone or something.
Gonna have to have someone to wheelchair the thing around. It's like an assistive robot, but you have to assist it. You know? Have you ever in your life heard of that?
That's hilarious. Oh my word, I'm just seeing it. I'm a very visual person, so I'm seeing it in my head. It's hilarious.
Oh, and that's wow. It for this week's Tech Show.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
What a way to start the year.
Yeah, what a note to end the show with today, with this strange robot. Yeah, it's strange. But yes, I think the lesson today learned is be careful of Alexa.
Yeah. Don't ask about challenges.
Don't tell your kids. Make sure they don't ask her about challenges.
Are you gonna go? Listen, son. Don't go ask Alexa for a challenge, and he's gonna leave, and the kid's gonna be like, Alexa, can I have
exactly.
a challenge?
Yeah, you know? Kids are like that. They will actually do it then.
No,
maybe just don't say anything.
Don't
to your
just child. Don't get an Alexa. End
oh, okay.
Story.
Don't get an Alexa.
No,
okay.
No, don't get an Alexa.
And also, not a what's the one you just spoke about?
Amica.
Yeah, also don't get it, Amica, because it's bloody useless. Can't even walk, for God's sake. No, come on, it's 2022, it must be able to walk.
It must fly by now. It must be self-driving.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they're delivering groceries and stuff by drones now. I mean, surely this robot can somehow move.
I would hope so.
It's got 19 expressions. Can't walk.
It's got millions of expressions, can't walk. I would have started with maybe I wouldn't, because what's a walking robot that can't talk, but a talking robot that can't walk?
Yeah.
At least it can ask for help.
Yeah.
A yeah. walking robot that can't talk can't do nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
To you, it'd give you a clap.
Yeah. I'm always worried when that thing short circuits or something goes wrong.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's going to happen, eh? It could be dangerous.
No. I mean, it could think it's making eggs and bacon, but it's in your TV closet. You know, just like destroying the TV or the decoder, you know? Like, imagine. It's riding a bicycle lying on the floor. It's completely screwed.
Oh, listen, you are overheating the studio now. I think it's all this laughter. Yo, it's overheating. Kane, thank you so much. What a great start to 2022, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to achieve this year with Tech Plus.
Definitely.
We're going to have some more nice guests and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's going to be a proper start to 2022. It was a brilliant first year. We're really going to sink in now and get into 2022.
That's it.
And yeah, no, really looking forward to next week's tech show.
Same year. Thank you, Kane. Enjoy the rest of your week and weekend.
Thanks so much.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Cheers, bye, man.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.